fighting for America.
Not only do we have to win this legal fight, but we're still going to have to pass a law through Congress. The bottom line is, Jose, that I'm using all of the legal power vested in me.
Fighting for Idaho.
We're in a kind of situation where, the end of the Roman Republic 2,000 years ago, and it's very disturbing, completely apart from the substance of immigration policy.
Fighting for you.
Thank goodness that you're there to at least allow us a voice. We need that. And we love you, brother. And we love the guests that you bring on. You're amazing.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. He's back. Our friend Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. And he's in trouble. We'll be talking to him at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But we also have some breaking news here, and we brought this to you earlier today on a variety of the Facebooks, Kevin Miller Show, 580-KIDO. I think I even tweeted this out at Kevin Miller Show. President Obama is using executive orders to impose gun control in the nation, targeting the top-selling rifle in the country, the AR-15, with a ban on one of the most used AR bullets by sportsmen and target shooters. According to the ATF, this month revealed that it's proposing to put the ban on the 5.56mm ammo on fast track, immediately driving up the price of bullets and prompting retailers, including Cabela's, to urge sportsmen to urge Congress to stop the president. Greg, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on again, Kevin. Appreciate it.
Timing is everything. What do you make of this?
Yeah, this is their end around for gun control. They're banning a round that's been used for many years by sportsmen. And, what they're really trying to do is get the public behind it by calling it armor-piercing rounds, which it really isn't at all. And that's how they're going to try and drive this force to ban this ammunition. But it's not armor-piercing at all. In fact, they removed it from their armor-piercing list because it doesn't qualify. And so this is an end around for gun control. Again, the government intruding on the Second Amendment. And, we're always told that we're fear-mongering. Well, Obama's probably the best gun and ammo salesman that we've ever had, I guess. So, it's got to stop, Kevin. And this is what the big national gun groups are good for, is to step up and block these types of actions.
Well, and we'll get to more about the national groups as we move along. Let's talk a little bit about you. You've been in the paper again and again and again here at 580KIDO with your proposal for House Bill 89. Right now, the Senate version is dead. We heard from Senator Hagedorn last week on this program about it. We actually had a poll, which do you prefer, the House bill, the Senate bill? So let's continue on here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You have a sponsor for it. Where is House Bill 89?
Well, first, what was the results of that poll, Kevin? Do you remember the percentage?
Overwhelmingly for the House bill.
Okay. So just
like 92%, I believe, something like that, 95%.
All right. So the liberals voted for the other 8%, I'm guessing.
Apparently.
I'm just kidding. So House Bill 89 is still in Chairman Lurcher's committee. He's still holding on to it. His excuse for holding on to it has changed, depending on which day you talk to him. The first excuse was he wanted to make sure it didn't compete with the Senate bill. He now admits that it does not compete with the Senate bill, although we told him that from day one. Now he says, well, we want to make sure that, it doesn't affect Idaho law. And so we tried to clear up what exactly he was referring to. And he said, well, it might affect our reciprocity with other states. And generally what you're hearing is Nevada and Washington may or may not drop the enhanced carry permit reciprocity if we do constitutional carry here in the state of Idaho.
Right. That's the big threat that the folks up north that are right next door to Washington, or maybe those folks that live close to Ontario, if they're concealing carrying, all of a sudden they're lawbreakers in other states.
Yeah, and they're really, all this is a stalling tactic by the Republicans in the House to not let House Bill 89 go forward by, scaring people into not supporting constitutional carry. First of all, Kevin, we will not, and the legislators better not, let other states dictate the terms of our freedom here in the state of Idaho. That's the bottom line. We have looked at this bill over and over, and there's no reason, based on Washington and Nevada law, that they would drop us for reciprocity on the enhanced carry permit unless they were doing it out of spite. They just hated the fact that we were moving towards a freer state, and they said, we're just going to drop reciprocity with you. If that's the case, so be it. For years now, people up in northern Idaho that go to Washington frequently went to Washington and got a non-resident permit. It's actually easier than the enhanced carry permit. The bottom line is they are trying to protect this enhanced carry permit that we opposed because we knew that if they did this permit, it would make constitutional carry all that much more harder, and it's proving true.
Greg Pruitt with us, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So now let's get to the accusations against your group, that your group and others like you have been harassing members of the Idaho House and perhaps the Idaho Senate.
Yeah, right now a lot of the frustration and anger of Idaho gun owners is towards Chairman Lurcher and Speaker Behnke. Now, harassed by harassment, I guess if you mean that we're calling, thousands of Idahoans are calling and emailing Chairman Lurcher and demanding that he put a House bill forward, you know, that doesn't constitute harassment. Now, are there some gun owners in the state of Idaho that maybe have gone too far and said some things that weren't were inappropriate? Probably. But, you know, we're not going to tell people not to call and express their opinion. Every time that we tell people to email their legislators, we tell them to be firm but respectful. And that's the bottom line. That's what you got to do. But you need to make your voices heard. And so we're not going to stop because a few bad apples, and for all we know, they might be plants, are calling Chairman Lurcher's family and maybe saying some things that they shouldn't. That should absolutely stop if you're harassing or threatening his family. And he can take legal action against those people if he needs to.
Right. So basically, there's no proof. There's just the chairman saying that he's been harassed.
Yeah, well, we haven't heard anything yet, and I'm not calling him a liar necessarily. I'm just saying, you know, that if those things have happened, I know that lots and lots of other Idahoans have been very civil with their request that House Bill 89 given a hearing, because I've seen a lot of those emails. I always get CC'd on those emails. And so I've seen a lot of them, and they're very respectful.
Well, what do you make of this, though? I mean, you don't want these people, I mean, should they not call him at home? Should they not call him at his office?
No, they should call him any time. You know, lawmakers are, you know, they're big boys. They should be able to take phone calls at home or at their office. All their home phone numbers are generally published in the legislative directory or on their campaign pages. And, you know, a lot of Idaho citizens, you know, Chairman Lurcher said, well, I'm not at my home right now. But a lot of citizens don't necessarily know where he lives. In fact, almost all of them probably don't know where he lives unless they're in his district. And so if you get somebody from northern Idaho calling, you know, they're saying, hey, I'm going to call this number, and maybe he's going home every night. Maybe they think he lives down here in the Boise area, and he does go home every day. So there's, you know, they got to understand that not everybody knows where these guys live. I know where he is.
Right,
so,
but I mean, this is a big accusation that your group is harassing them.
Yeah.
I mean, that made the papers. Yeah. It made you rabid gun guys running wild.
Yeah, you know, it's ironic because, you know, we're not down there blocking them from going to work. We're not down there hiding in their closets and other things. Huh. All we've simply done is told people to call his office, him and Speaker Behnke, and email them and let them know that you want to hear House Bill 89. You want it to go to a full hearing and to a full vote on the House. That's what we've done. That's it.
Greg Pruitt with us here at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Have you made a difference?
I think so. I think Idaho gun owners are sick and tired of the political games that are being played down in Idaho, in Idaho's capital. You know, everybody talks about the D.C. politics and the dirty games that go on in Washington, D.C. It's no different at the state houses, and not just Idaho, across the country. It's all the same. They have their own agenda. They do what they want, and whatever the citizens want goes to the wayside. You know, for years now, we keep telling these guys constitutional carry is the top priority of Idaho gun owners and has been for several years since we've started polling people. And by your poll alone, you know, that's overwhelming. People want to see it happen. And yet they have the choice. The Senate Bill 1090 died. They could have all said, you know what, we don't necessarily agree with House Bill 89, but this is what the people want. This is what we're going to do. And instead, they're behind closed doors now trying to rewrite 1090 into something different. And when they could jump behind House Bill 89 and make it happen.
And a lot of people, though, they don't like the wording of your bill.
Yeah. And
that's another issue that we've heard.
It's ironic because we've tried to ask them what the issues with the wording are, and they can't tell you, or they won't tell you. I've asked them over and over, okay, what's the issue with our language? Well, you know, there's some conflicts. Okay, what's the conflict? Well, it's there. You just have to look at it.
Right.
And so we've ran it back through our attorneys, and they're like, yeah, everything is fine with this. There's no issues. And so the bottom line is they're stalling and coming up with as many excuses as they can not to run this bill forward.
I've alleged that this is all orchestrated by the NRA.
Well, what I can tell you is the NRA does not back House Bill 89. They have not come out and supported it. The Gun Owners of America have. The National Association for Gun Rights has. Two other big national gun groups. So why the NRA doesn't back constitutional carry here in Idaho, I guess you would have to call your local NRA, Friends of NRA rep, and ask them why.
And you haven't talked to them?
I've been in contact with the NRA at the beginning of the session.
What'd they tell you?
I have not heard from them for quite some time, but, you know, the NRA did want us to put off constitutional carry until next year. And I said no, because I've been told next year since 2012, and I'm done with next year.
You have been told next year, and be a good boy, work with the committees. There is a sense of frustration, and we've been with you since the very beginning. I remember when Eric Makrush brought you in that first day.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you've come a long way. But is it just a case of these guys just don't support gun rights, and they don't want that stigma that they're anti-gun?
Yeah, I think they've been able for years now to balance between putting forward a gun bill that looks like a really good pro-gun bill, but it's watered down and it expands, you know, police powers or whatever the case may be. They've been able to put those kind of bills forward, and I think we're opening the citizens' eyes to, hey, we're not getting what you rightfully deserve, what is rightfully already yours in the defense of your life. And so I think that's kind of frustrating to them, that we're not just rolling over and playing this game.
Let's go to the phones. We go to Brian in Meridian for Greg Pruitt at 580KIDO. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, gentlemen. I didn't know what time would be good to denote this, but as you may be aware, Jim Palmer of my district in Meridian, he sponsored the enhanced concealed carry law. Now, the prior year to that, I had talked with him multiple times about our absence of reciprocity with more states and how we would need that. It would be better. Now, of course, then that bill came around and I learned that he had put it forward. I was like, oh, I wonder if I had any influence on that, or he probably heard a constituent. I went to his, I went to him and talked to him about that, and he said, no, nothing you said had any influence on that. Well, then how did you get the, what, where did that bill come from? He goes, an NRA guy from the East came, flew out and handed me the bill and say, here, put this in. He told me that directly. He listens to out-of-state national organization to put forward a bill, and that's why I always supported Idaho Second Amendment Alliance in opposition to that bill, because it was not put forward by the citizens. I'm here stating now, I do believe that with that admission of Palmer, Representative Palmer, to me, I'm going to go on the air and say he violated the state constitution of Idaho, where he failed to listen, Article 1, Section 10, which is where he failed to listen to his constituents on what they sought, and instead listens to out-of-state, unconstitutional people to put forward a bill. That's my statement today.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Your thoughts.
Yeah, he's absolutely right. It's a problem that we've had for some time now, in that the citizens are being ignored. What the citizens want are being ignored. I mean, that's why we sent them there. They work for us, and yet a lot of the Idaho citizens feel like they're being ignored by the lawmakers.
More coming up next here at 580KIDO with our friend Greg Pruitt. If you have a question about guns, 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Time for traffic now.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The chairman of the House State Affairs Committee says his family and the families of other committee members are being harassed. Republican Tom Lorcher of Iona says supporters of the proposed constitutional carry law are publishing home phone numbers of committee members and their families.
You heard it here first. That's Maggie O'Mara, Channel 7. 580KIDO, Kevin Miller with Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. You heard the news story. You've denied it several times, but shame on you and your crew.
Yeah, you know, again, we've never published his home phone number, and not that we're opposed to it. Some of the national gun groups have.
So why in the world did he make that accusation then? I mean, if it's on the web, what's the big deal?
Yeah, well,
take your home number off the web there, Lurcher.
you know, I believe that the Idaho citizens have gained some momentum in letting these guys know that they are not happy with the decision they're making right now to hold House Bill 89 hostage. And so what better way to come out and blame gun groups for harassment when I know that a lot of these guys haven't been doing that? Some
now, wait a minute.
Have.
If you were if he was a Democrat, that would be the modus operandi. Yeah. But he's a Republican. Blaming gun groups? Isn't that his base?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the bottom line. The Idaho gun owners aren't, you know, we don't care if you have an R or a D next to your name. If you're holding up good gun bills that expand freedom, we're gonna let you know about
now,
it.
Now, you've been through this many times. Are they just trying to run the clock out on you?
That's my best guess, is they are trying to stall out until the end of the session.
So where do we go from here at 580-5436? You've got a sponsor, Representative Scott, but what is it, up to Lurcher? Is it up to Betke? What's the deal?
Ultimately, Chairman Lurcher has the power to let the bill go forward. We believe Speaker Betke is telling him not to let the bill go forward. But ultimately, the chairman could say, you know what, this is what the people want. I'm going to put it forward regardless of what happens. So it's in his court.
How are you going to influence Speaker Betke?
Well, we encourage all of our...
You know, we had him in here once. Liberal Steve said something inappropriate, and he's never come back.
Yeah, no surprise. You know, politicians need to have some thicker skin, I think.
But... Apparently. So how are you going to do this? And look, you're up against the leadership of the state, really. These guys run the state.
Yep, that's correct. Well, that's...
They control the purse strings. They're going to control this and that, and... Quite frankly, they don't have an election for a while, so maybe they can just go, pfft.
Yeah, that might be the decision they make. And, you know, we encourage people to keep reaching out to Speaker Betke and Chairman Lurcher. And in the meantime, we'll, I guess, have to start preparing for campaigning in 2016 and remove those obstacles that are blocking House Bill 89.
Let's put on your headphones for a minute. And, folks, I want you to listen in as well. This was from the White House yesterday, and it goes to, again, the further attacks on guns. This is from some jabroni named Tommy Christopher wearing a fedora indoors. Folks, look, if your mama, if your daddy never told you this, you don't wear a fedora indoors unless you're trying to make a fashion statement. Take the hat off inside, people.
He's this threat from Al-Shabaab on the Mall of America over the weekend. And under current law, as I'm sure you're aware, that there's nothing to prevent a couple of lone wolves from going to a gun show and getting everything that they need to inflict mass casualties at a place like the Mall of America. So what I'm wondering is if there's any sort of thought being given to push to close the gun show loophole and strengthen background checks in the interest of national security. And if there isn't, then why not?
Well, the President certainly believes that there are some common sense steps that we can take that would ensure that we continue to protect the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens while also making it harder for those who shouldn't get guns to get them. The President has pushed a variety of legislative proposals to try to effectuate those changes. The President has also put in place a large number, I think 24 or so, executive actions to try to take those steps. And those executive actions have been important and successful. But there is more work that can be done, again, to implement common sense measures that would both protect the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding Americans while making it harder for those individuals who shouldn't have firearms from getting them.
Finally, you know that CFAX is going on right now. I just got this over my Twitter.
There you have it. Why, you know, the terrorists are going to go to gun shows to buy guns.
Yeah, you know, they've tried to close the quote-unquote gun show loophole for so many years now, and the statistics already show that nobody, criminals don't go to the gun shows to get ammunition and guns. They go on the black market where they know there's less of a chance of them getting caught. So, it, you know, they're common sense solutions. That's the thing you hear all the time. In fact, it's funny. We actually hear the same thing in our own state, not in regards to the gun show loophole necessarily. But when it comes to constitutional carry, we'll actually be at gun shows talking to some Idaho gun owners who deplore Obama and his common sense solutions. And at the same time, they're okay with the permitting process because they said it's just common sense that people need to get a permit so that they have training. I think, wait a minute here, you're using the same argument that President Obama has.
Well, we'll talk about that next, plus a report with Rachel Sutherland, back to net neutrality. Keep it here, stay informed. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
The Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller, KIDOAM.com, 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
I'm calling on the people of this state to stop the cruelty. It has no place in our society. I'm calling on people everywhere to get over themselves, get on, get past all this.
Like my double barrel, had it most of my life. 357 was a present from my wife.
All right, coming up, Rachel Sutherland will join us from Fox News Radio with the very latest on the IRS and everything else. Before that, Greg Pruitt with us, Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. So a lot of folks say, what's wrong with having people being required to learn how to use these firearms, these handguns, to conceal and carry? You've had Sheriff Rainey talk about that last week.
Yeah, and really what people have to realize is that, you know, our bill, House Bill 89, doesn't even remove the training requirement, because you can already open carry in the state without a permit. So anyone that wants to carry without training can already do so openly if they want. So really what they're saying is you need to have training to put a coat on and to cover your firearm. And anyone who has taken this training knows full well, especially gun owners who carry on a consistent basis, know full well that the training they require you to take is not nearly enough to what you should really do if you're going to be proficient with your firearm. They don't even teach you how to do things with your own specific firearm necessarily, breaking it down, cleaning it, clearing it, all that kind of stuff. A lot of that stuff isn't even covered in the training they're talking about. This is a way for them to control who they decide. They want to decide who does and does not get to carry a firearm that's a law-abiding citizen, and it's a way for them to get revenue.
Greg Pruitt with us as we continue on, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to Patriot Ray. By the way, I had a dream about you the other night.
Oh, I hope it was a good one.
You were flying a plane, and you were landing the plane correctly, so I just wanted to let you know that.
Well, that's awesome.
You're a pilot now.
There you go. You know, my dad got mistaken from being a pilot when he's in the airport several times, even though he wasn't. But, you know, we appreciate Greg for all he's doing, also for the others who are trying to do right. And you have a president. The flat tells people, go ahead and push something through, I'm just going to veto it. We now live in a socialist society with the king at the head of it, or monarchy, whatever you want to call it. But we also have so many things happening within the world. We need to be able to protect ourselves. And, you know, every time we register ourselves, we're just putting ourselves as a target when they finally decide to do something in the government. I have no faith in my government, at least very little anymore. But I have a lot of faith in my people, my fellow man, to do the right things and have Brother Pruitt do his thing to just go forward. We appreciate all of you. We're brothers and sisters in this whole scheme of this world. And we need to be working together instead of fighting each other. And these legislators need to listen to the people. Please, people, don't get angry at them. Just let them know that you think this is wrong, that they're not allowing this bill to be heard and voted on in the full position it should be. So we just need to go forward, and I just, God bless you, Kevin, for being there, and thank you for allowing me to speak my mind.
Have a good one, Patriot Ray. God bless.
You too. Take care. God bless.
All right, more on that in a minute. Hang on the lines. We go to Rachel Sutherland of Fox News Radio with the latest on Lois Lerner, and lo and behold, we found the lost emails.
Well, we did, or somebody did. The Inspector General, actually, J. Russell George and his team, turned up these emails. It took them only a couple weeks to do it after the IRS just threw up their hands and said that they just could not find them. Apparently, they've recovered about 32,000 emails and backup tapes, all related to the IRS's targeting of conservative organizations.
What's the expected fallout on this?
Well, it could be huge. In fact, the Inspector General, J. Russell George, said that they're actually looking at possible criminal activity. He did not go into who would be the subject of that criminal investigation, if there would be a detailed probe, what the charges might be. But you would imagine if you're Lois Lerner, you hear something like that and a chill might go up your spine.
Not only that, but, you know, you've had Judicial Watch, Rachel. You've had the House, various House committees look at this. You've had citizens who've been victimized by this. Is it too soon to kind of figure out what the vibe is in Washington right now on this?
Well, this just happened last night, so yeah, it is kind of early. We do know that the lawmakers are going to want to get a hold of these emails just as soon as possible, but it may not be that easy. I don't know that the Inspector General is going to hand over these emails, and right now we don't know what's in them yet. I mean, they're just now locating these, and imagine going through all of that and you know, sifting through and seeing what's pertinent and what's not.
Well, and, you know, the shocker, because we've heard that these hard drives disappeared and blah, 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 and then back to your report, you know, nobody actually asked for them.
Right. Right. I mean, but, lawmakers have been looking for mm-hmm. the emails for quite some time as they investigate the targeting of conservative groups. And so, I think there's definite interest in this story. Sometimes it kind of gets on the back burner for a while. But really, the IRS is really the only government agency that everyone just uniformly fears. I mean, you don't really have to fear the cops if you're not doing anything wrong, but everybody kind of thinks the IRS could come after them, and it's a bad feeling. People are scared of the IRS, and people don't appreciate the idea of the IRS doing something like this, abusing its power.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people will be talking about it not only today, but on your favorite habit when you're not roller skating or shoveling snow, the Sunday shows.
Yeah, they'll be talking on Sunday shows for sure.
Well, Rachel, you have a great day. We appreciate it, ma'am.
Thanks.
All right, Rachel Sutherland joining us from Fox News Radio. Much more on the IRS. What do you make of that there? Have you been audited yet?
No, but I tell our people all the time that as we file our taxes and we file our reports, that we've got to make sure that everything's in a row because, we're going to have a target on our back eventually.
Speaking of the human target, Tea Party Bob joins us.
Good morning, gentlemen.
At 580 KIDO. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. How
morning,
are you
Bob.
This morning.
Good.
Just a quick question. I understand, that there was a bill introduced to double the fees by Senator Hagedorn on the licenses, on the original permits that were given out. Where does that stand? And are they going to go forward or have they killed it?
Yeah, you're talking about House Bill 165, which the Sheriff's Association had wanted to put in to double the original application for a concealed weapons permit. My understanding is that that bill is being held currently, and as far as it being officially dead, I don't know. I don't believe it will go anywhere, and with the frustration and anger of Idaho gun owners over House Bill 89, they would be hard-pressed to try and put that forward.
Okay, I was just curious about that. Do you think you're going to get this bill through or no?
We're doing everything we can, Bob. We're fighting tooth and nail, and we got to get more citizens involved. More citizens have to speak out in favor of House Bill 89 to get it budged out of committees. These guys got to know that we're not going to go away until the right that they have to defend themselves has been fully restored.
Well, thanks for everything you're doing. I do appreciate it, Greg.
Thanks for all your help, Bob.
Have a good day.
Hey, Bob, thanks for talking to me. Appreciate it.
Well, you put the guys on.
Thanks, Bob. You don't have to get defensive now.
The last 2 days you've been very critical of me. Is there something wrong? Did you have a bug or something?
Well, no, just don't be defensive. I'm not a potted plant here.
Excuse me? I see you water that potted plant every time I'm down at...
you can't get in a fight with him. He'll always beat you.
I hope you have a wonderful day, Kevin.
All right. Thank you, Tea Party Bob.
Take care.
580-5436-580-KIDO. So we've got the president and the ammo. We've got your bill that may or may not go through. Let's get back, and you addressed this a little at 580-5436-580-KIDO. So another argument that has been put up against your group is the idea that it's going to make it easier for criminals to have access to conceal and carry.
Yeah, criminals, and anybody with any common sense knows this, criminals don't go and get a permit. They do what they want regardless of whether there's a little plastic card in their wallet or not. It won't make it any easier. They can already carry now because they're criminals. They don't abide by the law. That's why they're criminals.
Right, but do you see how it could make it tougher for law enforcement to bust these guys because they're allowed to carry a weapon? Not that I agree with it, but again, it's the argument counter to constitutional carry.
No, not at all. In fact, if I've talked to law enforcement in the five states that have constitutional carry, and we asked them specifically, has constitutional carry made your job more difficult? Not that that should really matter, because freedom matters far more than security. And they've always said, no, it didn't affect our ability to go after these criminals at all. So I guess my message to law enforcement would be go and talk to the law enforcement in these other states. And if you think you're going to have any issues, talk to them about what constitutional carry has done in their state. In fact, we've seen in Cheyenne, Wyoming, for instance, that once constitutional carry was passed, and we can't necessarily show that this is the case, but violent crime in the city of Cheyenne has dropped 44% since the constitutional carry was passed. Now, can I prove that that is exactly what caused the crime to drop? No, but I can tell you that it didn't cause crime to increase.
Well, we have these states that are doing it, and, we're supposed to be one of the reddest states ever, and we have these roadblocks, these impediments. I've given you the the reasons not to do this. Why isn't this happening? Are we just not as pro-gun as our propaganda would indicate?
No, and that's exactly right. We have a lot of already good gun laws on the books, thank heaven. But take a look at Kansas. I just posted this article yesterday. The state of Kansas is very likely to become the next state for constitutional carry. 26 of their 40 senators co-sponsor constitutional carry in the Kansas Senate. And the House is overwhelmingly there, very pro-gun, and the governor, from what I've been told, is expected to also pass the bill if it gets through the House. So 26 of 40 senators co-sponsor constitutional carry. Where are our senators?
That's a good point. Where are the senators? They would, again, argue about the reciprocity issue and others here.
Yeah, and that's a problem. And that's one of the reasons, again, why we oppose this enhanced carry permit, because it would, you know, teach them that, yes, training is great, but freedom is better. Okay. And the bottom line is they're more concerned about regulation and red tape for people defending their lives than they are of expanding freedom.
So you could take away that we're not as gun-friendly as, let's say, Wyoming or some of these other states.
Well, we're certainly not passing constitutional carry and some other bills that would really expand individual freedom. So I guess that's up to each individual to decide how gun-friendly we still are.
All right, more coming up next, 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. Let's get you to work.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
7:53, Greg Pruitt with us, Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Coming up next hour, a live report from CPAC. In addition to that, net neutrality and your phone calls. Kevin Miller with you here. We go to Liberal Steve with Greg Pruitt at 580 KIDO.
Hey, buenos dias, senores. Hey. This, you don't need this paperwork. You don't need to mow down trees to run paper through this state house to pass a bill to carry concealed weapons. You just carry. You just simply carry. Or if you want them, you want to shake them up, everybody start wearing a shotgun on their back and a pistol on each hip and walking around town by the thousands. And they'll push it through fast for you. I mean, this is a joke playing with these people in that state house. And Oakley, Idaho, one of the biggest areas, if you go through history, I mean, if you did a run.
Now, this
Oakley,
is what I deal with all the time. I really don't know what he's saying or if he has a question for you,
well,
or if this is just
is,
the non-award-winning commentary, or is this where he pretends to be conservative, Greg? I don't really know. Can you translate what he's saying? I have no idea.
Hey, what I'm saying is forget the concealed weapon thing. Forget it all.
So you want to open carry.
Open carry, but carry concealed if you want.
Well, that's then you're breaking. Aren't you breaking the law then?
Who cares?
I wasn't asking. I wasn't asking you, lawbreaker.
You're not breaking the constitutional law.
The constitutional law, Greg. What do you make of?
Do I dare say I agree with?
Don't fall for it.
Like,
he is the Lucy of this program with the football all the time.
Real men take care of their families. Real men take care of their neighbors, and they want a weapon like I carry a weapon everywhere.
You know, and you and your weapon. I remember we had the big showdown between you and Pat from Middleton. You show up with your German Shepherd, and what was that, a 357 strapped to you at the Eagle Park there that one day? Remember that?
44 mag with an extended barrel so you could hit them at 100 yards.
Yeah, now why did you show up there? Were you afraid that the fire department or Russ Smurz or Pat from Middleton or Kevin Miller were going to beat you up?
I'm not afraid of anything, Kevin.
I know
it's
you're
like
not.
The lady that got pulled over, and a cop says, how come you got so many weapons in your car? Are you afraid of something? And she says, not with these weapons in the car, I'm not.
All right. Now, back to the point here. What is he saying?
I don't know. I mean, he almost sounded like a conservative there for a couple minutes.
I'm not a conservative. Real liberals break the law because those are men's laws put in the books. That's not the Constitution.
So you're a lawbreaker.
You're damn right I'm a lawbreaker.
Yeah,
according to your laws and these white-haired men that are a bunch of you know what sitting in the
state house. What color is your hair? What you have left of it?
Don't go there, Mr. Miller, or I'll start talking about your physique.
There's an easy target, no pun intended.
No, stay fired up, guys. We don't need this. We don't need you guys wasting your time down there.
Wait a minute. You're saying that Greg's wasting his time trying to get constitutional carry.
No, he's not wasting his time.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that we don't need it and he should be pushing for, like, cannabis oil, non-toxic cannabis oil for the epileptic children here in Idaho. That's important.
I'm not even...
All right. So. Thank you very much for the call, and thank you for listening.
Yeah. You know, he is right that we shouldn't really need House Bill 89, because the Constitution has spoken for your right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, I think if a lot of people felt that a jury would nullify them in a case where they carried concealed without a permit, a lot of people would probably do it. But right now with the courts, the way that they are, you know, probably not going to fall down on your side. That's probably why you don't see a lot of people do that. But I would encourage everyone to defend your family.
Well, and nothing personal, but if you get pulled over by law enforcement and you've got a weapon and you don't have a permit for it, you're going to the jail.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I'm saying. And, you know, you can take your chances in the courts, but right now, with a lot of people not knowing about jury nullification, it's a very risky endeavor.
It's a very expensive endeavor.
And expensive, yep.
All right, if people want to get a hold of you, what can they do?
Go to idahosaa.org, our Facebook links to the website, so you can go find our Facebook page from there as well, and just kind of stay in touch with us and what we're doing.
Safe travels, brother.
Thanks, brother.
You're listening to 580 KIDO. 759, 40 degrees, coming up, a live report from CPAC. In addition to that, net neutrality, are you down with it? And Obama takes your ammo. All that before 9 o'clock with me, Kay Milley, on Idaho's first radio station, 580 KIDO. Stay tuned, Fox News next.